Navigating between federal and state regulations can be tricky business. Where do the federal rules end? Where do the state rules start? It's all very confusing. A challenge the Uniform Law Commission and George Washington University Law School are trying to address today in their symposium on federalism and state law. Joining us now with more information and to clarify things for us is Bob Stein, the president of the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws. Mr. Stein, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, good morning, Amy. A pleasure to be with you.
So there are challenges for regulating agencies, the areas of shared state and federal responsibilities. What are some of the big speed bumps people are facing?
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about at the symposium today. It's a serious question of trying to find what is the appropriate balance in this federal republic we have, or we have shared responsibility between state governments and federal governments. So what we'll be looking at today is what are some things that seem to be handled better when they are the subject of federal law, and when is it more appropriate that the balance of power should say that a state law, and if it's a state law, it would need to be a uniform law from state to state, is better to cover it by a uniform state law.
And I just want to back up a second and ask about your group. I've never heard of a commissioner, someone with that title, a commissioner on, is there such a thing as a commissioner on uniform state laws?
Yeah, indeed there is. Every one of the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and two of the territories have legislation that has commissioners representing those states. So there are, in fact, commissioners from the district as well as all of the surrounding states and the other states. Typically, they're appointed by the governor of a state. I believe here in the district, they're appointed by the council. And they we draft uniform legislation and send it out to the states to be enacted in the legislatures.
Because you do work closely with states in that way, do you get some insight into how states view their relationships with the federal government? Is there antagonism there? Do they work well together? What's the consensus? Or
well,
is there one?
As you can imagine, in political relationships, there oftentimes are irritations that come up when states feel challenged by a mandate that comes from the federal government or some other issue of relationship. Our organization really doesn't focus on those issues so much as to try to draft legislation that is effective when enacted and carried out by the states. The symposium today will not deal with those kinds of political questions that come up, but rather as a matter of principle, what's the best way to have shared power? For example, much of the commercial law in the United States is family law. Uniform Commercial Code governs sales and secured financing and all financial transactions. Family law is traditionally state law throughout the United States. Real estate law tends to be state law. So these are all subjects that the Uniform Law Organization deals with.
We're speaking with Bob Stein, president of the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws. And recently this issue became very public with the health care debate. And some people thought that the U.S. Congress was perhaps being a little bit expansive in its interpretation of the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. So is this to say that the Constitution itself offers some guidance, but maybe not enough detail for the modern-day world on what should be federal and what should be state authority?
Well, under the Constitution, primarily relying on the Commerce Clause, the Congress has the power to legislate in nearly every subject that touches on multi-state activity. And that, of course, is called the preemption when the federal Congress acts. The issue, as we're going to be addressing it today, is not so much the constitutionality of Congress's power, because I think that's pretty clearly established by the Commerce Clause, but rather, as a matter of principle, when is it better that things should be handled by the states as a matter of laboratory experimentation, trying new things, adapting to issues in particular states, and when is it better that it be the subject of federal law? And so this is part of an ongoing initiative to try to see what are the principles, not as a matter of constitutionality, but as a matter of best practice, what things are better left to the states and what should be better left to the federal Congress.
Is that something that would have to be handled on a case-by-case basis, or is that something that you can handle with one sweeping decision? I mean, that seems really hard to squeeze into that box.
I think so. I don't think there's one sweeping rule that would decide this, but the subject of the discussion today with a number of gifted thinkers and scholars and a variety of law schools and law firms from around the country is to see, are there some principles we can abstract from experience in a variety of areas where things have been better left to the states and things which are better undertaken by the federal government? And so what are some principles that should guide this question, not as a matter of constitutional preemption, but as a matter of best practices in this country we have with shared powers between states and the federal government.
And can you give us an example of a recent case or issue or topic that gives rise to this kind of question?
Well, there are issues that come up all the time. In fact, earlier last year, the President Obama reissued a executive order on federalism that had previously been issued in the Clinton administration, before that in the Reagan administration, advising federal agencies and congressional staffs to keep issues of federalism in mind in deciding how to frame, regulate, and implement regulations and legislation that's adopted. So it's a continuing issue. It's not one that comes up occasionally. It comes up every day.
Like maybe in liquor laws, for example?
I would say that tends to be a matter of state law. In fact, that may one that be that may not be uniform from state to state, depending upon things. But on other issues, for example, issues relating to age of drinking and driving, there may be multi-state issues that come up with regard to that question.